From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Adrian, all set, you reckon?
Oh, it's an exciting day. You'll be parked up there with your green smoothie, your turmeric latte at 2 o'clock, won't you? And tuning in. Hey, you'll be there. No?
Yeah, no, I'll be there. But, well, I mean, he's not going to do it. What's he going to do? He's not moving the OCR, is he? Is he going to say, but I will be shortly, and everyone will go, ooh.
Well, look, straight out of the gates, you're right. There won't be any change to the official cash rate. It'll stay at 0.25%. But look, as ever these days, Mike, it's about, as you say, what's contained within the statement itself and what the central bank is signalling. Now, the first point I want to raise this issue around the cash rate, because we all focus on the cash rate. But you've got to realise at the moment it's not the sole determinant of monetary policy setting. In fact, the central bank refers to the unconstrained official cash rate. Now, the unconstrained official cash rate represents the combined effects of the actual cash rate, which, as we know, is very low, and the other unconventional measures that it's using at the moment, so the funding for lending program and the large-scale asset purchase plan. So the combined effects of those actually indicate that the unconstrained OCR is well below zero. So if you wind back the funding for lending program, you wind back the large-scale asset program over time, monetary policy is effectively being tightened. So they can move the monetary policy settings without actually moving the cash rate. Now, looking at today's announcement, we haven't had a forward track published for the official cash rate for quite some time, so we'll see if that comes back. What indications they give, as you say, at what point will the official cash rate have to be raised? What changes are given to forward guidance? How does the Reserve Bank see the global growth developing? That recent GDP number, or the GDP number for last year, that's lower than they were forecasting, so that gives them a little bit of wiggle room. Those housing policy announcements from the government, that potentially removes the source of inflation. So that's, again, that takes a bit of demand away from their factors, but the very strong labour market is running hotter than forecast. So quite a few competing things there, Mike. The RBNZ will continue to have to sort of walk that tightrope. I think they should keep settings as they are at the moment, but I do think there are upside risks to inflation, and I think they may be a bit stickier and a bit longer lasting than simply transitory.
Indeed. I thought Napier Port did okay seeing no cruise ships turned up.
Absolutely. So we had a few announcements yesterday. So ports, cars, fuel. Napier Port, what's happening at the border, good result. 6 months to the end of March. You'd expect this to have been a pretty tough period. Not only, as you say, did they had enjoyed those cruise ships coming in, they're not coming anymore, are they? But also the global shipping disruption. Ships simply don't arrive as expected. Despite all that, they've done okay. Net profit down a little bit. They've reinstated their interim dividend. Log volumes were very strong. Looking ahead, there is a little bit of potential for that flow-on effect from the labour shortages in the horticulture industry. That could affect export volumes. Think about pip fruit, that sort of stuff.
Turners are hot.
Turners are hot, mate. Turners are hot. Here's an illustration of people piling into the car market. This is the financial year to the end of March 21, a year pretty mucked up with COVID. I mean, they couldn't really operate for 2 months, so that's a pretty significant headwind. But hey, it's all good. Record year, net profit after tax, $26.9 million, up 28%. Used car market, very resilient. Of course, there are delays in getting new cars into the country at the moment, so that's helping the used car market. They had good earnings from their finance business, insurance business, so really endorsed their strategy of diversifying their business model. Their dividend for the whole of the financial year for 21, 20 cents, so at $3.75 a share, that's a 7.4% per annum yield, and in a yield constrained world, Mike, that's pretty compelling
if
for
you're
investors.
Looking for yield, go there.
There you go.
Marsden Point, this is what Stephen Joyce calls the deindustrialisation in New Zealand. So we're done, aren't we? I mean, I assume the boat's going to go the way they want it to go.
Yep, we're done. So we're done. Z Energy have reached agreement with New Zealand Refining Company to close the refinery. It's going to be converted to an import terminal system. So instead of refining the crude oil, we're just going to bring in the finished product. The other shareholders do have to agree. I think that's just off memory, BP and Mobil. It's been talked about for quite some time. Just for the record, Turners Auctions up 15 cents on that number yesterday, so they did good.
Good stuff. What are the numbers?
The Dow Jones down slightly, 45 points, 34,348. The S&P 500 down 8 points, 4,189. And the NASDAQ 13,657, barely moved. FTSE 100 down 22, 7029. The Nikkei up 189, 28,553. Shanghai Composite gained 84 yesterday, 3581 was the close there. The ASX 200 gained 69.7115. And despite what I thought were pretty good announcements yesterday, the NZX 50 down 107 points, 12,341. The currencies, 0.7233 against the US, 0.9326 Aussie, 0.5904 Euro, 0.5110 pounds, 78.66 yen. Gold, $1,898, and Brent crude, $68.67.
You're a winner. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.